So our lessons this morning call us to help create a new community, that wondrous morning, that new community of God's love and wholeness in the world, to let a new day dawn in our hearts and in our world. But first, both our lessons describe for us the old world we're hoping, wanting, yearning to leave behind. In our epistle lesson, James describes that tangled, knotted, toxic, judgmental web of relationships that's so poisonous, that pits the rich against the poor, the powerful against the weak, that leads to so much devastation of human lives and of the human community. James simply says, as the community of Christ, you are to live differently. You are to live your faith. You're to let your faith be embodied in works of compassion that transform your life and everything else. And then in the gospel, these divisions between Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, are all on display right at the surface in this very brief encounter between Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. He's an itinerant rabbi from Palestine with no place to lay his head, trusting in the kindness of strangers. She's a prosperous woman from the big city, the urban world, who would not usually have anything to do with a country bumpkin from the hill towns of Palestine. Except her daughter is being tormented to the point of death. She's desperate. She's ready to grasp at anything, at anyone. She's heard about Jesus. She reaches out, bows low. But the very human Jesus senses her desperation, and for his very own reasons that are not stated, is he tired? Is it because he's Jewish and she's not? Is it because he's male and she's not? Whatever reason, he stands aloof. He stands apart. She's too far on the other side of that tangled, toxic web for him to care. And so he dismisses her. He's dismissive. And as human beings often do, they use common abusive epithets just to push people away. Dogs, in this case. A little painful moment there. And at the same time, that's the moment that the divine spark happens. And we get a glimpse of the new community of God's love in the world. For it turns out this woman is not just desperate. She's determined. She's focused. She's intent. For the sake of her daughter, for the sake of life itself. And she is not about to let suspicion and divisions and hostilities, that tangled web that we human beings weave, she's not going to let that deter her, to stop her. She's not going to let that tear things apart anymore. She is headed for that larger reality. And so she speaks a very clear, simple word of truth. And that whole word of truth is embedded in the word crumbs. Crumbs. On the one side, the word crumbs that she uses means that she's telling Jesus, I am nothing. Myself, my ego, my private identity, in the words of Richard Rohr, means nothing. All those categories that are my persona, they're crumbs, they're nothing. She's ready to let it all go, to surrender all of that. That's why she's bowed at his feet. She's letting go of her status, her prestige, her image. She's also letting go of her frustration, her resentment, her anger, the injustice of the world, all that that's got to be in her as a woman of that time with an ill daughter that nobody cares about. She lets it all go, lets it all become crumbs for the sake of a larger reality, which is the other side of that word crumbs. For in this context, she knows, she's heard that there's more to Jesus than just a country bumpkin. And by extension, She knows there's more to this world than just pain and suffering and division. There's more to this world than just crumbs. She knows that Jesus represents the abundance of God, the wholeness of life, the fullness of life. He's the one who's multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And she's heard the story that after he fed everybody, there were more than 12 baskets full of crumbs left over. 5,000 are fed, and there's a multitude of crumbs left over. Crumbs represents abundance and fullness, the vision of God. And so when she uses those word crumbs, she's going right for the jugular with Jesus. For in that moment, Jesus has forgotten all that. In his weariness and getting tangled in the cobwebs. But she remembers. This Syrophoenician woman is ready to let go of herself, but she won't let go of the truth. The larger reality of love, of possibility, of grace in this world. It's hard to hold on to that. Jesus had trouble at times. But in that moment, she held fast. And that is the divine spark that woke Jesus up. And so her daughter is healed. Doors are opened. But it's not just that Jesus healed the daughter. Together the two of them, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, found a way together into something new, something hopeful, something life-giving, beyond the tangled webs we weave. That's the glimpse we get in this story. It's what Jesus calls the kingdom of God, or that wondrous morning of the hymn. Which is all really great to listen to and hear, but at the heart of it, it's our task to enter into this. And so I got my own glimpse of the new community this past week, this larger reality, as Lucy and Ellie and Autumn and I stood out on Park Square, out of our comfort zone, asking people for support. We were putting our faith into action for 3 hours, guided by John Levesque of First Church, who's our mentor, plus another volunteer from our pantry who joined us, asking people for donations. Something small, something simple, and yet it called forth from so many people these tender, warm, generous responses, smiles and change from their cars or dollar bills from their billfolds, but more than that, just the sense of connection. Thank you for the work you do. Let me be a part of this. Let me help. Overcoming the kind of rush of the day, connecting one another, it was beautiful. And then another glimpse I got this past Wednesday night at St. Joe's Kitchen. A hot, steamy night. Volunteers from all walks of life are there. The room was filled with people, everybody rushing, and I'm watching them, you know, and felt like 100 degrees, even with the fan going, it felt like 100 degrees. It was an unpleasant environment in many ways. And yet here we all were, feeding, caring, listening, connecting to one another and our neighbors who struggle. And I thought, there's something deep and holy in this. And then our sexton, Joey Johnson, taking to heart the walk a mile in her shoes and getting so excited about getting as many pledges as possible, wearing these ridiculous heels. I think in each of those instances, just from this past week, I witness humble, determined people stretching beyond their comfort zone, seeking to live in small ways into a larger reality. The new community, the scriptures made real. So we live in a desperate world. There are huge toxic tangles that we're all getting caught into by this world, by our country at this time. So much injustice, so much inequality. But the Bible at the same time calls us to be determined, to be faithful, to be faithful, humble souls who simply seek to awaken the holy, to be a part of that divine spark that feeds a multitude. That's our call. We can do that in small and large ways. We can be that divine spark and awaken to a larger reality as we seek to be members of the new community of Christ. Amen.